We are learning Shmuel Bet. We are in the middle of Perek Ches. In our packets, we're on page 252. Numerous maps over here as we went through this discussion. We are up to Pasuk Hey, verse 5. We were seeing how, after in the previous chapter, how David was not going to be the one who would build the Beit HaMikdash, rather his son would, but nonetheless, he felt if he could pave the way for his son in any way possible, including fighting all the enemies and battles, then that would be certainly one step in the right direction. So now let's just go straight into Pasuk Hey, due to our lack of time. The Tavo Aram Demesek Lazor Lahad Ezer Melch Sova. So we also have our on our maps. You can see certainly in map 5 where David and his army went toward Demesek, which, as we mentioned last week, is the place where he fought. It was actually possibly 150 miles north of Damascus, as we know it, as it's brought down in the English on page 251. So the pasuk tells us that Aram Damascus went to help out the king of Sova. King of Sova is actually on our map on the top, Z-O-V-A, Sova. So you can make sense because they were relatively in close proximity to one another, so they had an alliance to one another. So that was obviously a huge mistake for Aram Damascus to help out Hadad-Ezer, who was the king of Sova. After all, the pasuk continues, V'yach David Baram Esrim Ushnaim Elef Ish. Aram, who thought he was being a big help, he ended up being destroyed by his own army, 22,000 men died. Pasuk Vav, V'yosem David Nitzivim Baram Damasek. So David appointed guards to in this area. Aram with David. So now Aram also was under the rule of David. Avadim nosei mincha, and they became servants to him, and they would provide gifts for him. The Yosha Hashem is David b'chol asher halach. The pasuk reassures that this has nothing to do with David and his strength and his power, but it's because of his loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. And Hashem said,
Aram is Damascus?
Yeah, Aram is the leader of Damascus. Aram of Damascus. So he ruled over all of Damascus, and he thought, as you can see, the way looks out on the map, looks like Damascus was quite large, and Zova, which is a little bit to the northwest of Damascus, was a little bit smaller, so they felt maybe if they would combine their strengths together, they'd be able to defeat David and his army. Unfortunately, that's not what happened, unfortunately for them, fortunately for us. So Hashem assisted David in all these wars. Now, what did David do with all this money? You know, one of the great things about winning a war is that you get all the cash, all the gold and everything that belonged to your enemy. So maybe he kept it for himself. That's not what the pasuk tells us. Vayikach David as shilte hazahav. So David took the shilte, which is translated as the magen, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, the magen Avraham, is a shield. They had all these golden shields. Asher hayu el abde hadad ezer. So they had these very strong, powerful golden shields. They took them v'yaviyim Yerushalayim. And he brought them to Yerushalayim. The next pasuk says, Umi Betach, Umi Be'rosai, Are Hadad Ezer. These were different cities in Hadad Ezer's area. Lokach HaMelech David Nechoshes Harbe Ma'od. David took a tremendous amount of silver from them. Nechoshes copper. Copper or, yeah. So, right. So he took a lot of these metals, these precious metals, And the question is why? Why did he do so? Looking at Rashi over here, on still on page 252, toward the bottom, which is actually in Rashi Pasuk Zion, which is the third last line on the right side, Kol HaParshios Elu Samchan Eitzel Parsha Shel Beis HaMikdash. There's a reason why this juxtaposition of all these wars and the accumulation of this of all these metals next to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, or David wishing to build the Beis HaMikdash, says Rashi, Mephishim Mikol HaMelchamos Halalu, when it came to all these wars, Kivetz HaKdeshos L'Sar Chabayis, he took all of these things for the needs of the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't keep any of it for himself. His purpose and motivation was so that David's son Shlomo would be able to have all the raw materials to be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. We'll look in English over here on page 253. It says as follows, where it's underlined, where it says, and brought them to Jerusalem. On page 53, David consecrated the spoils of the war for the construction of the temple. This is why the account of these wars follows immediately after Nathan's prophecy that David could not build the temple. If he could not do it himself, he would at least prepare for its construction by Solomon. So says Rashi, which is what we just read.
David knew that he wasn't going to build it?
Yes, in the previous paragraph, Hashem told Nathan the prophet, that he was not going to build the Beis HaMikdash, but rather his son would, and his son would be a dynasty that would be all future generations connected to David and his children thereafter, but he would not be the one building the Beis HaMikdash. That was the primary focus of last parak. Anyway, now, the question that some of the Mefarshim grapple over, which, by the way, we recite, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid, right? Which means that sentence in the beginning of that psalm is that David was the one who was the constructor of the Beis HaMikdash. Mizmor Shir was a song for the inauguration of the bias of David, which is not true. David did not build the Beis HaMikdash. But based on what we're seeing here, even though he didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, he basically did. He had all the raw materials, everything necessary for the Beis HaMikdash to be built, came about because of David. So if it wasn't for David and all of these things, no Beis HaMikdash. You know, Hashem could say, okay, you can build a Beis HaMikdash, but if you don't have the capacity, the ability to do so, so then what use is it? So that's one interpretation, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. However, the Mefarshim, the Me'am Lois in particular, points out that the issue over here is how could we build the Beis HaMikdash with these things after all? The Beis HaMikdash is something in which represents peace. That was the reason why David could not build the Beis HaMikdash, because he was a man of war. And it wouldn't make sense for a man of war to build something which brings about peace. We mentioned also on Shabbos that our table, which is comparable to the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, one is not allowed before grace after meals, before benching, to have a knife. You're supposed to remove your knives. There's a lot of commentary exactly when that rule applies. But the idea is that something which represents peace, you can't have something which is destructive, such as a knife. And therefore, the commentators grapple over how could he have used these materials to build the Beis HaMikdash. And the answer that they give, as we'll see later on in the text, is his son did not use these things. Which is interesting, which is almost a little, you can say, as a slap in the face, but that was the truth. That Shlomo, when it came to his taking over the position and ultimately building the Beis HaMikdash, none of these materials were used. And some also explain the reason, in addition to the issue that they belong to war, is that he designated all this for a future time. He saved massive amount of gold, silver, and we just read copper, for a future generation to build a structure. To build a house, to build this huge house of God. But the problem was that in the process, while there were storage houses and treasuries filled with gold and silver, there were people that were poor. There were people who were starving. And he was considered, as we'll see later on more in the text, that David was held responsible that he was so busy focusing on the construction of a building years later when he should have been focusing on the here and now and on people, which is far more important than any structure, including the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that's another explanation as to why all these things that he gathered end up actually not being, did not end up being used. So let's just see a couple more psukim, then we'll stop. Vayishma Toi Melech Hamas. So the king of Hamas, whose name was Toi, he heard about this whole business, about what David was doing, basically plowing the whole field around him, destroying anything in his way. Kihika David as Kol Chel Hadad Ezer. Somehow he was able to conquer all these people. A very strong, powerful army. And he didn't want to be next. V'yishlach Toi as Yoram Beno. So Toi the king sent a prince, his son, by the name of Yoram, El HaMelech David, to David HaMelech, Lishol Lo Lishom, to somehow have a treaty and to greet him in a peaceful manner, Lovarchol Al Asher Nilcham Bahad Ezer, and also to bless him upon the war that he was able to defeat Hadad Ezer. Why would he be so happy that Hadad Ezer was destroyed, his army? V'yakehu Ki'ish Milchamos Toi Hoya Hadad Ezer. David may not have realized it, but Hadad Ezer and his powerful army was always like the Achilles heel of Toi, the king of Hamas. And Toi was always concerned over this army, but now, thank God, they're no longer in the picture. And therefore, to show his gratitude that this army has been defeated, he wanted to side with Dovin to show his appreciation. And in his hands, again, were all these precious metals, gold, silver, cop.
Is there some significance with the name Hamas?
Probably. Yes, I'm sure there is. But
was that the name of an area, of a town?
I'm looking at the map over here. I'm having difficulty finding it. I don't really see where this was. Do you see that in the map anywhere? I'm not sure why it's not explained, but no, those are all the maps that I was able to find. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but always a significance. Always a significance. Always a reason. Let's just see another pasuk, and we'll stop. Pasuk Yud Al. Gam Osam Hikdish Hamelech David Hashem. Also, this David consecrated this all this gold and these precious metals to Hashem. Together with all the other gold and silver that he had made holy, Mikol Hagdoyim Asher Kibesh, from all the armies that he was able to conquer and defeat. Just actually, let's see one more pasuk, then this one we'll stop with. Pasuk Yud Beis. Mi Aram, mi Moab, mi Amon, mi Plishtim, mi Amalek, mi Shalal, Hadad Ezer, ben Rechob, Melech Sova. So we find all these different places and groups that he was able to conquer and defeat, from Aram, Moab, Amon, the Plishtim, the Amalek. We already mentioned about even though he came from Moab, nonetheless he killed 2/3. We talked about that last week. And he took all these things. He took all the spoils from Hadad Ezer, Ben Rechob Melech Sova, who was the king of Zoba, which we had on our map, which we said was northwest of Damascus. So the Mefarshim asked the following question. It says that he took gold and silver and he sanctified it for the purposes of the Beis HaMikdash, which is very nice. After all these people were our enemies. They wished to wage war against us. So the spoils, instead of them using it for his own benefit, he uses it for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. Very nice. But the problem is the word Amalek. Because when it comes to Amalek, Timcha Zecher Amalek, we're supposed to completely blot out Amalek to the point that even their livestock, all their possessions, so that no one would point to their possessions and say, this belonged to Amalek. We don't want anyone to associate or connect anything, which, not even the people, but even the possessions, so that no one should ever remember Amalek. So the question that many of the commentators grapple over is, how could David have taken these possessions and used the things from Amalek for the Beis Hamikdash. So there's a couple of answers, and I'll share them with you and we'll stop. One explanation is there's an idea called a shinui, that when things change in its form, it no longer has its same name. So what's the whole problem? People are going to look at this golden bar and say, I remember that that golden bar belonged to Plony over there who was an Amaleki. But once it's melted down, it no longer has the same surah, the same form of this particular piece of metal. It's formed into sockets, it's formed into part another part of the Beis Hamikdash, whatever it may be, whatever the metal is. So no longer is someone going to be able to associate it to its original source because it no longer looks like it. So some say once you create a shinoi, you're allowed to use things which even belong to something like a Moloch. Another interpretation is that the whole prohibition of having anything which belongs to a Moloch is as long as there's someone from a Moloch. In other words, if there are people in your midst that are from a Moloch, you're not allowed to have the possessions of any of those things because people will connect this book to that person who lives down the street from a Moloch. We're supposed to timcha zercha Moloch, remove their name, the blood out completely, everything that they own. However, as the Pasuk says, a Moloch was defeated. So in his midst, there were no longer anyone, there were still people from a Moloch, but no one in that vicinity who was a Moloch, and therefore no longer is it an issue to use those possessions for the purpose of the Beis Hamikdash. But again, all those things that were used ultimately will not be used in the Beis Hamikdash for the reasons that we described before. We'll stop here.